Hello and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening Neil Mathers, who's Chief Executive of Children's University Scotland. Welcome to Edutalk, Neil.
Hi David, glad to be here.
Thanks for taking time out this evening, and I'll just say to listeners that this is a pre-recorded show. However, if you've got any questions or comments for Neil and you'd like to go through ourselves at Edutalk, then you can email or pop something up on Twitter, just the usual back channels. Neil, just to start off with, could you give us a bit of background to your own career?
Yeah, no problem at all. So I started out as a community education worker about 25 years ago now. It was my original training. In Dundee, I started out as a youth worker in areas such as Beechwood and Whitfield, mainly focused on detached youth work, so working with young people who were experiencing poverty and disadvantage, and supporting them to participate and engage in learning. So I started out there, and then over the years I've worked with a number of different organisations, all in the third sector, and with focused on children and young people, so with Barnardo's Children First, and latterly with Save the Children, where I was head of Scotland for Save the Children until joining Children's University Scotland. So I've always had that focus on children learning, tackling disadvantage. So this is a great opportunity actually to be joining this organisation that's got such a strong focus on that.
And so can you let listeners know then, Neil, what the Children's University Scotland is?
Yeah, so we're an organisation that started just 5 years ago in Scotland. And our whole focus really is about inspiring learning beyond the classroom and support children who experience poverty and disadvantage to be able to raise their aspirations, boost their achievement and help them realise their potential, essentially. And we work with universities, we work with schools, colleges and other learning providers to try and open up access to affordable, high quality learning outside school hours.
And now, some listeners will remember from a couple of years back that we had a show kind of dedicated to the Children's University of Scotland. So can you take us through, since you've come in as Chief Executive, Neil, how the work of the CU has changed recently?
Yeah, so I guess since Mary last joined you to talk about the work, we're working in many more areas now. So we're almost working around 14 to 15 local authorities, working across about 130 schools. It's about 8,000 children members for Children's University overall, accumulated over the period that we've been around. I suppose the key changes over the last year or so is the changes to the programme around building credit and the awards that we provide for children to recognise their achievements. So in the past, we focused on children collecting credits for every hour of learning that they did outside of school, which was a great way of incentivising children to participate and engage in learning. But what we felt was that it really rewarded presenteeism, really. So we focused on the wrong things. So we've built in our programme a change around awarding credits for the impact or the value that learning has on children's lives. So that's been a major change, which we've built into the system that we now offer. And I suppose the other thing is starting to help children think about the skills that they're developing as a result of the learning that they engage in. So our programme now matches up learning activities that children do with the skills that they gain. So children can see, skills such as communication, teamwork, critical thinking, creative expression, things that maybe children aren't realising that they're gaining as a result of the learning that they're doing. It helps them develop that language and understanding and maybe think about other types of activities they could do to gain different types of skills. So those are probably the two major differences that we've introduced.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like a significant change, Neil. And I wonder, you know, what have people said about that change? You know, particularly what kind of feedback have you had so far from young people?
So over the last few months, since being in post, I've spoken to quite a lot of people about these changes, and certainly teachers in particular have been very positive about the move towards the value that learning has and really rewarding that. I'm particularly excited about the focus on skills. It's been a key focus, obviously, for schools to, in terms of their wider achievement approaches and developing that language of skills, but also for universities and employers when we're looking at the end of children's school careers, having that knowledge of what skills they have and being able to talk confidently about those when they're, you know, looking for work or applying for university is a really great attribute to have. So teachers quite excited about those kinds of changes, because that really reflects the approaches that I think schools are taking as well, as trying to build that knowledge of skills into the learning that is taking place within school and within the curriculum.
And as I'm sure listeners will know or be able to guess, you know, young people don't attend that physical children's university as such. So everything, you know, you talked about at the kind of top of the show is about very close partnership working with learning organisations. So what kind of partnerships have you helped to foster recently, or ones that you're particularly proud of associating with the Children's University of Scotland?
Well, so our work with university partners is really important, because one aspect of that is that we can work with those universities to develop bespoke learning programs that can be offered to the schools that we are working with. So University of West of Scotland would be one example of where they are developing outreach programs that can be delivered to schools that can be validated as learning activities, that can gain credits for children who participate in those. So it's a great way of connecting up what universities offer, bringing something new in to schools to enhance, I suppose, the after-school provision that schools are generally putting on. We've got national partnerships with bodies like Historic Environment Scotland, so looking at ways in which we can make those historical sites more accessible and think about the learning resources that we can develop with Historic Environment Scotland to help children understand more about those historical sites, reflect on them, and maybe connect that learning as well to what they're learning at school. So there's quite a lot of power in those relationships and those partnerships that we're developing. In fact, this week we've got a session that we're running with Historic Environment Scotland at Edinburgh Castle in association with Young Scot. So really looking at getting young people involved in helping us think about what kind of learning challenges and learning activities could be developed to engage children in those and learning about those historical sites. So learning packs that are developed and informed by children's experiences. So that's something that we're really keen to build on in the future.
You've spoken very extensively, Neil, about the areas that will be of great interest to teachers in Scotland, and you mentioned the kind of numbers in terms of your engagement with schools. But more kind of specifically, how do you look towards teachers to actually support the work of the Children's University?
Well, we're really keen to develop relationships, whether it's with individual schools or clusters of schools, to get involved in Children's University. In the past, we'd looked at trying to set up whole area local centres with the university partner and with others, and that's a great approach where we can make that happen. But where we can't make that happen, it meant that schools lost out on the opportunity to get involved. So we've changed our approach over the last few months to ensure that we can work with an individual school level or cluster. And I think it's really strong if we can work with a whole cluster approach with a secondary school and all the associated primary schools, because if we can do that, it means that children have got that opportunity to progress through primary into the secondary schooling, still being part of Children's University and still being part of that progression and that support that the school can offer. So really keen to look at how we can work with more schools in that way. I think the most exciting development for us is our digital platform, which we've called Aspire, which replaces the old e-passport, which Mary might have talked about in the previous show.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's really going to, we've done a lot of work on building something that is engaging for children to use. It's use a lot of gamification theory to kind of understand, you know, what makes it intuitive for children, but also built a lot in there around that focus on skills, the credit system, but also providing a way for parents to engage. So parents are able to log into the system to log learning that they're doing with within their own family, so that that can be included. So we're starting to be able to support learning that's not just happening beyond the classroom in school or provider-led learning, but we're also starting to be able to recognise the learning that's directed through the family or more widely than that, which I think could be a really great strength.
And you've spoken about the kind of change in language then, in terms of more of a focus on skills, but also using the kind of metaphor of the journey that the learner goes on. So can you tell us about how you're kind of using that particular phrase in terms of your kind of literature and in terms of the opportunities that you're offering young people?
We see the opportunity to first of all expand the age group in which we're focusing on, and currently we are predominantly focusing on that transition from primary into secondary school, and the current programme works really well for that. But I think particularly if we want to tackle the impact of poverty and wider disadvantage on children's achievement, we need to be offering something for younger children as well as those young people who are approaching the end of their school career. So it's an ambition of ours to be able to try and offer a programme that provides that pipeline of support of through every age and stage, from 3-year-old at nursery stage all the way through to the end of children's school careers. So that means we're not quite ready to be able to do that at the moment, but it means a focus on innovation in those areas. And that will allow children and families to be engaged with Children's University from a very early stage, and we can support that learner journey all the way through to work or further study, which I think could be really exciting.
Yeah, it certainly sounds very exciting. And you know, what other developments are you and your colleagues working on, Neil?
So another area that we're working to develop is providing access to online learning opportunities and developing learning resources that children can access. So at the moment, we validate what we call public learning destinations, so things that children can access outside of school, as well as the provision that schools provide beyond the classroom. But as you'll know, there's lots of great online learning resources out there now, and particularly providing activity packs that help children to reflect and review on the learning that they're undertaking within the family environment or that they're doing with friends, you know, to secure that learning is something that I think we can really offer through this Aspire platform. So that's something that we're really keen to work with partners on developing. So there's loads of great resources out there, but through this platform where children are visiting, we can make that readily available and promote it much more easily for children to access. So that's a key area of development for us.
And in terms of Aspire and the Children's University of Scotland more widely, how would listeners go about finding out more information? And of course, crucially for maybe some listeners out there, actually get involved in the learning opportunities.
So the best place to start is going to our website, childrensuniversityscotland.com, and all the information is there about either becoming a learning destination, or if you're a school and you want to get involved, all our contact information is there. So pick up the phone, send us an email. We've got a contact us form on the website as well. We'd be really keen to hear from whether it's a school or a learning provider or anybody who's really interested in finding out more.
Neil, thank you so much for taking time out. I know that when we spoke about Children's University of Scotland previously, there was a great level of interest, and I think the whole concept was new to many listeners, and I hope that listeners get an awful lot out of hearing your thoughts this evening. It's something that, as a father of four young children myself, it's an opportunity that I'll certainly be revisiting over the next few weeks. For teachers or parents, etc., is it best as a first step to go and browse the website, or would you sort of encourage people to be a bit more specific in their kind of first port of call?
Either browse the website or get in touch with us directly. We'd love to hear from you and tell you more, whether that's over the phone or coming out to meet with people. Really keen to promote what we're doing and find out what people think about what we're providing as well. So keen to learn what the value is in terms of the different perspectives, particularly from schools. So yeah, please get in touch any way you can.
Thanks again, Neil. Best wishes to you and your team for the future, and we'd love to invite you back on the show.